As a high school student, Mary Campbell met a nice guy she couldn't forget during her foreign studies in France. She and Grégoire Baron fell in love, eventually married, and moved back to Paris to start a family. They now have three children, live in a small town near Fontainebleau, about an hour south of Paris, and stopped in for a visit with us at the Travel with Rick Steves studios here in Seattle while on a family vacation. Mary Campbell Baron is here to update us on what it's like being a mama in France. Mary, bonjour.
Bonjour. It's a joy to be here.
What an interesting story. I mean, this is, you fell in love on your foreign study trip to France.
That's right.
As a kid.
As a kid. Brought home
now,
a young man with me to my father's delight.
To your father's delight?
Oh, he was like, what? It's nice to have a boyfriend. Does he have to come?
You brought him
Couldn't
home.
You bring a... I don't know, a keychain? To bring a French man with you?
Your French souvenir. He walks and talks.
That's right.
And I want to marry him.
I don't want to marry. Yeah, not right away.
No.
No, he was so lucky he found a French bakery in Seattle that was organic, that was looking for specifically a French baker. And so he was able to come here on his own visa, his own thing. And he lived downtown. And then I went to UW. And so we were able to continue to be together, but not immediately.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you weren't blinded by the charm of a young Frenchman. You had a chance to get to know each other.
Put those sunglasses on, yeah.
And then you became blinded by the charm of a young Frenchman.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he loved it. He had a really great time in Seattle. He didn't speak any English when he got here and really just plunged right in.
You know, it's interesting because there's a cultural gap between the French and the Americans, and you would know it as well as anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And the French must look at Americans, the French who are not necessarily broad-minded or cosmopolitan, and they would just go, sacre bleu.
What's going on here?
And then Americans look at the French and they go, you know, oula, nonsense.
That is so true. Yeah, there's a lot of moments when French people and American people can kind of pass like ships in the night, and one can be offended and the other one can be offended. And really, it's just they haven't respected their very specific codes.
It is fascinating because I find that the irony is, a lot of Americans say the French are rude and they just don't understand how incredibly polite they're being because they
have this
passion for discretion.
Discretion, yeah, and respect of other people's spaces and distance.
And so, tradition.
And
it's
tradition,
done this way.
Yes. And when people, when American people, when we kind of come in too hot and fast.
Right. Hot and fast. That's it. And they just, you take them by storm. My uncle's name is Stormin' Norman, you know, and Stormin' Norman. That's the American slap on the back. Good old buddy.
Yeah. Hi, how's it going?
First name basis.
Yeah. And for a French person, they're like, why are they asking me how I'm doing? Because they don't even know me. Like, what an overly personal question.
Yeah.
You know, and the other way around, when the French come here and then someone asks, how are you doing? And then they give a real answer.
Yeah.
The cashier's a bit overwhelmed. They're like, whoa.
I didn't really want to have an honest.
I was looking for a great thanks.
There's a little more sincerity or something in Europe. There's a little more, you know, a little more candid, a little more frank, I guess.
Yeah.
And everybody's not trying to be the happiest person in the Budweiser commercial.
That's true.
So you've adjusted. Long short story short, you have become French.
I have become French, yes. So I have...
You live in a, not only just French, like, oh, I'm staying in an apartment in Paris, suburban mom with three kids.
Suburban mom French, totally, yep. I organize pumpkin sales and...
What is a suburban... You know what, you know, you think of a suburban mom here, Girl Scout troop and soccer club and piano lessons.
Yep, totally.
And, what are you going to keep the kids busy in the summer when they don't go to school?
Mm-hmm.
What occupies a suburban mom's concerns these days? What age are your kids?
They are 8, 10, and 12.
So like first grade,
third grade, and fifth grade. Yeah.
So you're right in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what suburban mom, what's that like in outside of Paris in a suburb?
Let's see. French parenting is, from all appearances, less intense than American parenting, as in French parents kind of take a big step back from it all.
Okay. Two things come to mind,
mm-hmm.
helicopter mom and laissez-faire.
Yes, totally.
You know
yes,
what I mean? Right. Laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire.
It's the opposite.
They're going to figure it out.
They're going to figure it out.
Yeah. So there's a real big step back. They're going to learn this in school. They're going to learn this in daycare. Here are my rules. Here's what we do at home. Here's what's polite. And then they get less involved in the nitty-gritty of it all, I find. Just general comparison.
You know, I think that has been a change in our culture. Because when I was a kid, parents weren't as involved.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much required of parents as far as being involved in all of the activities. Kids at the vacant lot, come home for dinner, you know.
That's right. Take your bike and go.
And now it's almost comical. It's almost embarrassing how overbearing A-plus parents are.
That's right.
You just don't have that A-plus parent going on in Paris so much.
That's right. We were at the park yesterday in Bainbridge, and there were parents waiting for their kids to come down the slide. Yeah. And my kids all turned around. There was like applause. They were like, amazing. Wait, yeah, that's such a good slide. Like, good slide. Is there a way to do it wrong, Mom? Asks my daughter. And I'm like, no, they're just enthusiastic. It's
that
nice.
That is a very keen insight that you get when you go from a Parisian suburb to a Seattle suburb. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Mary Campbell Boulon. And she's an American who married a Frenchman, raising her family just outside of Paris. And today, Mary works as a food stylist for advertisers. We have a link to Mary's blog archives, where she writes about how Parisians might find us worth staring at, and how she learned to deal with French bureaucracy, and just the challenges of an American moving into France and adopting that culture. You can listen to Mary's earlier conversations with us about being a young mother in France and special things she might have noticed about being in Paris. It's in the links that we provide with our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. So Mary, you've got a fifth grader, third grader, and a first grader. Your kids are in the thick of it now, in grade school.
They are in the thick of it, but you know, school starts really young in France. So already daycare starts at 3 months old. So from 3 months to 3 years, they're in, if you're lucky to get a spot, they're in wonderful full-time care where they're already teaching them how to share
now,
and play and sit at a table, cut their food. So there's already that training happening. Mm-hmm. And then the first time they go to school is called maternelle. It's the petite section. And that's when they're three.
Three?
Yeah. So you have to be potty trained and you have to be three, and then you can go to school.
Potty trained and three.
Yeah.
I could qualify.
All right.
But that's a big challenge in America. We're trying to recognize the value of
preschool. Yeah.
And France has already recognized
it. Oh, yeah. Well, they just call it school. So school starts at three, and it's all day. So it starts at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way until 4:30. And then you have an option to pay on a sliding scale for the garderie, which is the after-school program, until 6:30.
So that would accommodate people who are working outside the home.
Absolutely. So all of the services around kids are designed to help parents who want to work, work. So I think France has an agenda.
So there is, because I've been impressed when I'm traveling around. I see this is the preschool center, and this is the mother's maternal health center, and all of this stuff designed, it seems like, with a big loving heart, but it's also designed for a better economy, I suppose.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think it's the growing up in America and with the kind of entrepreneurial parents that I have, we're always really in tune to kind of what's going on, what's the economic interest of all of this, why would they do this? So I think there is a big altruistic feminist part of it. And then I also see the nuts and bolts of
the practicality.
We need these women back on their feet, participating in their jobs.
It's an investment.
It is. It's an investment. And that you can see it starting in just the length of the school day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have something called the classe verte, the like green studies.
Yes, green studies. So first there's the maternelle, and then when they're six, they go into CP. So then they're in primaire, so that's elementary school. Uh-huh. And starting in elementary school and all the way up to high school, which is lycée, they organize week-long school field trips for their kids, specifically designed to get city kids into the country, mountain kids out to the beach kids into the mountain. So they integrate this so that everyone gets a chance to travel and see their own country.
Then they become less siloed. They're not just a small town girl or an urban guy or something like that. They empathize with each other. That is sort of parallel with the whole Erasmus program that helps fund studies like between students and teachers in the next country in the EU.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's another investment.
It is another investment. Yeah. Not all kids eat at the school cafeteria, but almost all of them do. And the cafeteria is another part of cultural investment where they want to expose them to different foods.
Expose them to different foods?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We just grow up with pigs in a blanket, man. That's all we need. That's you don't need exposure to different foods. French kids are learning to appreciate high cuisine.
That's right. And they have every time entrée, plat, dessert, fromage, pain.
So Wait a minute. You're in the school cafeteria in fourth grade and the kids get four-course lunches?
Starting at three. Yeah, even in petite section. They're going to the canteen, they've got their plates for them, and they're having a three-course meal every time with cheese.
I've noticed that, come to think of it, that even in the home, kids are really taught to have that elegance with their dining, not just eating.
It slows them down. If travelers are ever walking around in France and you walk in front of a school on the bulletin board outside, they'll always have the menu for the week posted, and it's really fun to look at.
That's a great insight. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Mary Campbell Barone. She's our guest today because she's in town with her family visiting from Paris. And you've got three kids that are in the midst of their childhood in France. Now, you said you're interested in maternal well-being in France. That's a passion of yours.
It is a
passion.
What is
the challenge in French culture for the wellness of the mother?
Well, I think their focus is on wellness, which means to me preventative care.
Right.
So again, like we were saying earlier, they want moms to give birth, be successful in their mothering, and then get themselves back to work and also have time for themselves. So the ideal situation for a French mom is they have a job that they like and they are good at. They have time with their kids that they enjoy. Their kids are getting a great education. And so they also have some alone time where they're neither with their kids nor at work. So they kind of find this
balance.
The government
is tuned into all this stuff?
Yeah.
Don't
you
find that interesting? Because here we'd almost be offended by that.
Right.
And then we're on our own and we're subjected to the forces of the market and everything. Mm-hmm. And you could make a case that it screws people up.
Yeah, I think
so. So in France, you've got that, what a lot of Americans would find would be big brother or big mother kind of government. But it works for people.
It does. I think that French women really take time for themselves. And that starts right after birth. So you've given birth to a child. A few weeks later, the government covers in your sort of healthcare package for giving birth 10 sessions with either a midwife or a physical therapist, which is just for the mom. And it's all about getting your perineum, or we call it sometimes your pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. So all the muscles that compose the private parts of a lady are taken care of. So you do a half an hour worth of special exercises, special breathing to strengthen and tone those parts of your body so that women don't have to deal with things like incontinence, which is a really big problem after pregnancy. Yeah. Lots of moms laugh about not being able to run or laugh or jump on a trampoline. French people do not have that on their radar. So they've got everything back on ship shape. And it's also about getting their sex life back on track because the government wants you to have three children, right? So
see, I don't know all the details about this,
right.
But I would imagine this is news for a lot of American moms to think that you could be proactive in your postnatal
care.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because I know there's a lot of women that have hard challenges after giving birth. Is this different in France compared to the United States?
It is. So all women have access to this. Almost all women use it. And again, it's matter
regardless of how much money they have.
Exactly.
Regardless of how much education they
have. Yeah. It's kind of
they
a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage.
It really
and
is.
Then they're back on board. Their sex
they're
life comebacks. They're not going to be disadvantaged physically in
That's
any way
right.
going forward.
That's right.
It's a good practical investment. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm learning a lot. Talking with Mary Campbell Barone. Mary, I know that your new job, because I knew you as a tour guide and for your work in introducing Americans to the cultural differences in Paris, you know. But now you're a highly sought after and I understand quite successful commercial food stylist.
That's right.
What is that?
It is one of the funnest jobs around, Rick. So I grew up in a family that worked in advertising. So I knew about the advertising world. Mm-hmm. I grew up with the love of food, which is just a personal passion.
I know from my experience with you in the past, yes.
So I was trying to figure out how can I mix these two things together. I went to a book show in Paris. There was a woman who was talking about a book she wrote about food styling. And I thought, oh, maybe this is it. So it's a food stylist. In French, it's called a styliste culinaire. I work on television commercials for brands like macaroni and cheese brands, a yogurt brand, a camembert brand.
So you make things look better than they actually are.
That's right. So just like supermodels look better than they actually are, you pick a pretty lady, you put lipstick on her, and you adjust the lighting, right?
Right.
So I'm doing that with a piece of
delicious
cheese. So we're picking the cheese. We're doing a casting call of all the cheeses. I cut it open. I take some blotting paper so it doesn't sweat. I put a little bit of baby powder on the outside so it's that white brie velvety texture.
Do you spend much time on these sites that I call food porn sites?
Food porn, yeah.
Because I think they're gorgeous.
They are, yeah, but I'm making the porn.
Food porn, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can make a gourmet hamburger look just sexy as can be.
That's right. And what's fun is to explore the different aesthetic points of view. So mostly I'm working for French clients. Mm-hmm. And so I have to kind of adjust my own American taste to what they're looking for. Yeah. So usually I want to make portions that are bigger. And the French are always saying, put less on the plate, less on the plate.
I'm like, okay,
I'll make it smaller. And then when we have other, you know, France is a hub for filmmaking, for commercial shooting, for photography. It always has been. And so we'll have Germans come in. We'll have people from Amsterdam come in. We've got the British coming down. Sometimes we have Americans that are shooting. And so since I'm bilingual, I get to work a lot with the international crews. And so it's fun to then have to adjust the way you're presenting the food to fit that market's version of delicious.
So you have to adjust it visually for that clientele,
yes.
That market.
Yes, yes. And so for one example, we had a ham commercial and we were shooting the pack shot. So the last shot of the commercial, we've got like the packaging and then the ham on a little cutting board. And we were doing it for the French market, the Italian market, and the German market. I was in tears. I was laughing so hard. It was such a funny cliche about how to fold the ham. So the the Italians wanted you to like fold the ham into like a rose, like a curly Q that you see like in a molding on one of their beautiful buildings. And then the German client was like, can you just lay them flat, please, like in a row, like just one, two, three.
Like marching in order, like, okay, Achtung.
I was Achtung, like, ham. Are you sure? Can we put a little volume? No, we like it like this. And then the French were in between, like some movement, but still natural looking, like they didn't want it to be a fake movement. So you're trying to make a little ruffle in a discreet ruffle in the ham.
Meeting Gregoire and having this French dimension to your life has been quite a blessing.
It has. Don't you
think about those little forks in the road?
You do.
And if you don't say oui, you don't go anywhere.
That's right, Rick. I think there's so much to that as I'm training new young food stylists that are nervous about being freelance or nervous about working on their own. And I'm just like, just say yes, guys. Just go for it.
If something presents itself, that's an experience.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Just say yes.
All right. Mary, I could talk with you forever. I just want to say thank you for dropping by.
Sure.
And best wishes with your parenting. And best wishes with making food look sexy in France. And let's talk again next time you're in town.
Yes, please. Thanks, Rick.
Au revoir. Mary Campbell-Baron first joined us on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us how Parisians looked out for her as a young mother. Her American Mother in Paris interview in 2011 helped us win the gold prize for travel radio from the Lowell Thomas Awards. We also have links to Mary's past interviews about how to walk and eat like a Parisian. You'll find them with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Frances Mays wrote about her life under the Tuscan sun. She joins us next to explore what Italian culture has taught her about how to feel at home.